From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready. It's a mailbag day here. We got, I'll weed through them a little bit, but about 40 questions from the rebelgrove.com message board as of this moment. Some entertaining stuff, some interesting stuff. We'll hit a good bit of those today during this show. So I hope you guys are having a lovely day, safe day. We had a little bit of rain this morning. Had a tornado in Hatley overnight last night.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, my mom called me this morning and could not remember what road my grandmother lived on, and was curious if that had been the road that it had hit. There's a lot of palm roads in that area, and it was a different one, but there were several there. That
we got the 3:30 weather alert. The phone rings. This is a code red weather alert.
Oh, you get like a phone call?
A thunderstorm warning. I'm like, oh, for the love of God, if it's just a thunderstorm, don't wake me up.
But you're okay with the overcaution with the weather.
With
it
the
doesn't
tornado.
Bother you. Yeah. But thunderstorm.
If there's a tornado warning, by all means, wake me up. But a thunderstorm warning?
Not enough.
No, because then I have a hard time going back to sleep, and I start thinking, and I...
Who gets everybody up in your house to, like, get in the interior hallway or things if things go a little awry?
I guess it would be me.
Is it you?
Yeah. Laura's a much harder sleeper than I am.
When I've told you, like, in a bad way, I don't respect the weather enough. I mean, unless I kind of see a funnel cloud headed there, I won't move. I'm just like, okay, fine. Like, I refuse. I'm probably a pain in the ultimate ass over it, if I'm honest, but... Nonetheless, I haven't been in one, and I get it. I understand.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing anyone, but I just am. It's the way I'm sort of wired. It just does not. It's got to be pretty rough. I mean, yeah. So anyway, but yeah, nobody was injured that I'm aware of. I think some property was hit a little bit. I think the school said there was a sign or something that was knocked around a little bit, but that was about it. So anyway. We'll get to your questions here in a few minutes. First, tell you about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Get the SpeedPass Plus app. Use it, earn some points, and save some money there with the Oxford Exxon. You get the lunch special, $5.69, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink, the hot case, pork, chicken, side items, dessert, and more. So stop on in when you are headed into town or on your way out of town as well. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is that number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. 662-257-1900. Guests, join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford would be a great place to watch college basketball over the weekend. The Final Four now set. Ole Miss baseball Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, including Thursday night on ESPNU?
SEC Network or ESPNU. Okay. I'm not sure which one.
It's on TV.
Yes, it is on television. That is true.
So you can do that. And Major League Baseball starts tomorrow. All 30 teams scheduled to play a regular season game in different locales across our great country. So you can watch those games as well at Rafters. Enjoy a great burger. Po' boys, appetizers, great bar selection, all of that stuff at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany. We got a lot of content up at the site. I've got a mailbag up this morning. As I told you yesterday, I was going to at some point sit down and write football, and I did that this morning. So there's a pretty lengthy Ole Miss football notebook that is up as well. Zach Barry and I taped a soft verbal podcast. That is up. Where you get your podcast. I'll put a link to it up at rebelgrove.com. We were joined by Ole Miss football general manager Matt Lindsay and by Alex Collins, the associate director of football recruiting. Spent 45 minutes with us on the Soft Verbal podcast, so that's up as well. So, yeah, there you go.
Program alert there from MPW Digital. Get into the questions. Yeah, we completely missed that last night. UCLA beating Michigan. They have a little tougher draw now with the Gonzaga Bulldogs. I think that to be the case.
But they made the Final Four.
Oh, look, as a play-in. I mean, you picked Michigan State to beat them in the play-in game before they played whomever they played at that point. Yeah. Was it BYU?
Yeah, I guess.
They started with?
So UCLA's they're in the Final Four. It's gravy from here, man.
Oh, dude, yeah, you're...
They're hanging banners.
They're hanging banners.
Yeah, you hang a Final Four banner.
Yeah. You hang any banner.
Well,
hang a lot of banners.
But that's a real banner.
There's some fake banners.
Yeah.
Some less real banners, if you
NIT know. Sweet 16, come on. Stop.
You got to remember that.
Someone.
Return to glory.
Yeah.
I will ask this before we get into the question. So, because this is, I mean, I was young. I don't have any idea here. And basketball in college has changed so much in really a lot of eras, even in my lifetime, of, you know, because of one and done and because you have to do this and this and how you get players and how you accumulate talent and what it sort of looks like from a roster standpoint. This Gonzaga team yesterday, Twitter really taken to, are they a historic type of team? I mean, they're going to go undefeated potentially for the first time since Indiana in 76.
Yeah.
Where do you feel like, though, they would rank against other era teams? Like you're talking about that UNLV team in 91, Kentucky 96. How does this semblance of college basketball rate against that type of team?
Yeah, so the teams that you would put it up against, right, is the Indiana team of 19, was it 76 when they went undefeated?
That's correct.
You'd have to put it up against the Duke teams that went back-to-back.
With Jason Williams and Christian Laettner.
It was Bobby Hurley and Grant Hill and Christian Laettner and that group. And then you'd have to talk about the UNLV team with Stacey Augmon and Larry Johnson and that group. And you'd have to talk about
some of the later Wooden teams, even though the era is getting a little funny on you.
Yeah, you're probably starting to get kind of funky now. The Florida teams. With Al Horford and Corey Brewer and Joakim Noah and Taryn Green.
Yeah. Lee Humphrey.
Yeah, Lee Humphrey was on that team. You know, you're having to talk about those groups. Maybe even there's an Arkansas team that was a bucket away from being a back-to-back team in the mid-90s with Corliss Williamson and Scotty Thurman. And that group, they were a dominant group for a while. But I don't know. They played everyone they could have played. They've dominated most everyone they've played. They can beat you in a number of different ways. They're immensely talented. They have at least one superstar. They probably have three first-round picks. They're really good. I don't know. The whole comparison stuff, I know it makes great fodder, and it in talk radio, hey, give us a call, 694-1055. It tells you, I get it. But it's really impossible, right?
It's completely impossible. I guess what made me even think about it was just the way talent is so different. Because, I mean, a team that has five seniors is going to play different and be a different deal than the one and done's that's just, hey, I'm in freshman and I'm doing this and different things.
I'll give you an example. Today, so Rob Freeman, Pitching Ninja, showed Blake Treenan with the, I guess he's with the A's.
That's right.
Throwing a 100-mile-per-hour sinker. Okay? And he goes, not him. Someone said Babe Ruth would have pooped his pants. Okay, I get that that's funny. It's a funny tweet, ha-ha. But when you take a step back and you think about it, okay, now in fairness to Babe Ruth, who played in the 20s and 30s, actually the teens and 20s and the early part of the 30s, Babe Ruth didn't see those types of pitches. He was the best hitter of his era for a long time.
He was.
How do you know Babe Ruth wouldn't have adjusted quickly? Because that's what greatness does.
Right. Bob Gibson gets outs today.
Of course Bob Gibson gets outs today.
Yeah.
Mike Trout hits home runs in the 20s.
He does. Well, that's the only thing that...
Greatness transcends generations.
It's the only relevant Babe Ruth, oh, come on thing, is that so many people act like he was 6'8", 320. He was about the size of a shortstop today. He was like 6'1", 215.
Right, and he didn't live in an era of supplements and weight training and specialization.
Yeah.
And so who knows what Babe Ruth, what Lou Gehrig would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's would Wilt Chamberlain be a star today? Of course he would. My God, he'd be awesome. Bill Russell would be a star today. Jerry West would be a star in today's NBA. In the same way that LeBron James would, when people go, LeBron James would have gotten killed back in the 80s. No, he wouldn't have. No, he's greatness. Greatness transcends that type thing.
They found a way.
You can talk about, so you can talk about, well, this guy's a 3-and-D guy, and he may not have worked in the 80s. Okay.
That's fair.
That's a fair conversation. A middle reliever who is a left-handed specialist who is great against left-handers but can't get right-handers out would have struggled in the 30s and 40s when you asked a guy, hey, go pitch 4 innings tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're talking about the greats are great. There's no limit to when Larry Bird or Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson or Julius Erving could have played basketball. There's no era that would have excluded Kobe Bryant.
And what's so hard for people is all that's true while also saying, hey, we can't compare them because, like you said, they didn't have the supplements. They didn't have the weight training. So I don't know. I mean, I can't take anybody's stats and go, well, I tell you, I don't know.
If you read about Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
And people say, God, if Mickey Mantle would have ever taken care of his body, hadn't drank as much as he did, had eaten better, that his hand-eye coordination was unique.
And he might be the number one example across the eras. Because we're talking about a dude that even back then, flying, 6'5", 60 kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, he had every measurable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's one of the things that makes sports fun, but it's also one of the things that for people who take sports too seriously, I kind of sometimes want to strangle them. You know, like you talk to old timers, or when I say talk to them, you read their quotes and stuff. And you and I have talked about this before. Josh Gibson, the catcher from the Negro Leagues, the people who saw him play, white people, black people, major league people, Negro League people, just fans, whatever, they all say this guy, had he played in the major leagues, may have been better than Babe Ruth. Who knows? Those are you don't ever get those answers. So would 2021 Gonzaga beat 19 whatever it was Duke? I don't know. They're never going to play. They would today. I mean, if you put Grant Hill and Christian Laettner and Bobby Hurley and Thomas Hill and those cats out there today, they're in their 40s. Yeah, Gonzaga kill them.
I'm not sure we can set that up. We can figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Grant Hill would probably say, "Listen, my ACL's good. No thanks.
I don't need any Timmy today. It's all good."
Yeah, no, you guard Jalen Suggs. But, you know, so we're never going to get that. We're never going to get Grant Hill as a 20-year-old against 18-year-old, 19-year-old Jalen Suggs. We're just – that's the way sports works. We're not going to get that.
Oh, all right. Easier question. And I know the answer for you is none. And frankly, both of us, because we don't worry about this day too much. What type of birthday cake do you ask for? Again, neither one of us actually asked for a birthday cake, but we'll play along here for the sake of
question. I mean, my answer is I would ask the kids what they wanted.
I do like an ice cream cake a lot. I just had to, yeah. I mean, some people don't like them because the cake is kind of hard and not moist and sort of, yeah. But I prefer cake and ice cream to just cake, for sure. I'm not a big cake person. I'd rather have a pie than a cake. If you're going to give me a cake, I'm going to need something cold or ice cream or something with it. When I was a kid, I loved just like regular yellow cake with chocolate icing with like a little bit of ice cream. That was like a thing when I was young.
My mom makes a really good red velvet cake.
I like red velvet
cake. And I like red velvet cake, but I'm not a cake person. It's not my thing. Like, I could walk through a room of 20 cakes.
Like bakery cakes just everywhere?
And not even think a thought.
What's your favorite cake? The red velvet?
Probably. I like German chocolate cake a lot because I like coconut a lot.
Okay.
And it's got a moisture to it.
So does coconut cake.
Yeah. I like coconut cake. Okay. I mean, I like cake, but my point is I could walk through a cake store hungry, not eat cake, and not think anything about it.
Yeah, I'm completely grind. I'm pie over cake all day. Almost any pie over any cake for the most part. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple pies that I don't like, but.
Yeah, I generally like pie more than cake.
Daniel, you make a good point. If I could take a guy, give him all the tools in the world from a supplement standpoint, and move him into an era, Dan Marino in today's NFL might be my pick. I'll take Dan and take my chances in today's NFL.
With that arm?
Yeah. We're going to set some records. We're going to chunk it around a little bit.
Even John Elway.
Yeah. We're going to throw it.
You let John Elway focus on nothing but football and get really focused, he might throw a ball through somebody's hands.
Yeah. What are each of your five favorite places you've been to and five places you're dying to go see? I don't know that I have five, maybe in either category.
Is this like sports venues or what? Just places? Well,
it's whatever you like to make it. I mean, I've been to some vacation spots, beach stuff that I really like. Little Palm, a couple places in Mexico have been good. I mean, as much as I kind of say you're the beach person, some of my places that do stick out are mostly all water-based to some extent. Because most of the places I want to go to would be like European cities and stuff. I've never been to Europe. So if I was just given complete money to do whatever, I mean, your Paris, Rome, Italy, London kind of stuff.
You think you ever make that trip?
I think I will take a Scottish or an Irish golf trip at some point. And I hope I see other stuff. I mean, I hate to say no, but at the same time, I mean, I'm 37. I mean, it's not like I got, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever make it. I always thought I'd do some European
thing. You
think
it's no?
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever really have the time.
You know, I used to really want to go to Wimbledon. That's kind of lagged for me. I was a much bigger tennis person 10 years ago than I am now, before I started playing golf again. But yeah, I think I will make some of that. Do I hit all of it? No, hell no. There's no way.
I want to go to Napa. I don't know, man. I'm not one of those people. I don't have tons of wanderlust anymore. I've never done the Grand Canyon. I've flown over it. Mm-hmm. So I'd kind of like to see it from ground level.
Okay. You liked all your Carmel area stuff.
Yeah, I liked all that. I loved Sausalito. I could just hang out there. It was pretty cool. I don't know. I've always wanted to go to Montana. I know that sounds crazy. I've always wanted to go to Montana. I've never been.
Why Montana over South Dakota or Wyoming?
I don't know. Just kind of when I pull the pictures up, it looks pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, that's sure. About it. It kind of seems like my speed, too, a little bit.
What's your one sporting event?
I don't know. My answers here would probably surprise you. Sunday at the Masters would be on my list. The U.S. Open tennis final would be on my list.
The night, the crowd,
Yeah. Wimbledon final, sure. I think, would be on my list. That would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It would not be the Super Bowl.
No.
You've
done World Series.
I've done the World Series. I've done NBA playoff games. I think if you told me I could go to a NBA Finals Game 7 kind of a game, might be in on that. It wouldn't be the tournament. I've covered the tournament.
I would rather go to a Stanley Cup Game 7 than an NBA Game 7.
Yeah, Stanley Cup would be awesome,
for the,
too.
For the fan watching and the craziness and the excitement.
That would be awesome.
It'd be kind of like, look, I don't care anything about soccer, but a World Cup final just to be in the arena would be pretty neat.
Oh, no, that would be...
I don't care at all, but just...
The passion of it all.
The environment is what
I've covered a national championship game in football. It's fine. It's so corporate that it takes some... It's probably Super Bowl-ish.
Yeah, see, that just does nothing for me from that standpoint. I mean, if my favorite team, and they have been, I mean, is in the Super Bowl, I don't want to go. I don't want to be there.
Right.
I'd much rather be at home or in a bar or in the city that the team is from than I would actually in the...
Yeah, I've been to a World Series game. If you told me I could go to a World Series game 7, having seen a World Series game 3, I'd be in.
Because that's different.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. That game at Wrigley was pretty freaking intense.
And the Indians won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still a moment in that game. The series is long over, obviously. There's still a moment in that game. It was ninth inning. Cubs were down 1-0. Jason Hayward was at first base, and Javi Baez was up. Mm-hmm. And he fouled a 1-1 fastball straight back. And I can remember thinking to myself, because the wind was blowing out, believe it or not, that game. If he hits that, it's out on the street, and this place is bonkers. It's up for grabs. And Carson was with me at that game, and I think he was 9 at the time. And I can remember almost thinking, boy, I was going to have to like figure out how to make sure he's okay, you know. And he I guess he struck out subsequently to end the game. And it was still, that was a pretty cool environment. It made me think game 7 would be nuts.
Yeah. We'll continue questions in a second. First, about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Don't forget, registration for Oxford Park Commission baseball and softball is still ongoing. It goes through April the 4th. The season runs May 24th through July the 2nd. 5 to 14 are the ages in softball. 5 to 17 in baseball. Cost to play is $50. Speaking of Carson, he and I need to tape a Chasing the Ring presented by Lamons Fine Jewelry. We're going to talk Final Four. We're going to talk NBA trade deadline winners and losers and what the stretch run in the NBA might look like. That's brought to you by Lamons, located at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, you name it, they've got it at Lamons. It's the gold standard in fine jewelry. LamonsFineJewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. We're also brought to you by Muddy Water Camo. MuddyWaterOutdoors.com is the website. Go check them out. All of the great stuff that they have as the weather warms up and you start to shift to some of the warm weather outdoor stuff, they'll take care of you at Muddy Water Camo. Speaking of warm weather, when this last little cool snap leaves us, it's going to start getting hot. You want to make sure that air conditioner is in tip-top shape. Comer Heating and Air is the people you can call. Oxford, Tupelo, the surrounding area, 662-801-1777. And we talked about the soft verbal. It's brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel Shop, two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, it's next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. You can always go to collegecornerstore.com as well. And you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. And we're brought to you by Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well. Founded in 1997, they provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. It's pintrust.com, P-I-N-N-trust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast to get 10% off your first year's fees.
Podcast also brought to you by Visit Oxford. You can find them at visitoxfordms.com. A lot of different events coming up, including today. If you listen to this quickly, the Easter Express, 5:30 to 7:30. It's a drive-through event in the parking lot of the Oxford Activity Center. Goodie bags will be handed out to those in attendance. And the Easter Bunny will be on hand for pictures.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of like Santa Claus. It makes the rounds quickly.
Oh, cool.
Got a lot going on.
Cool.
Yeah. Easter hunt, you know, Easter egg hunt on April the 2nd, Cypress Hills Farm Barn, 4 p.m. for that one, $5 per child. Then it's Kids Night at Ole Miss Soccer versus Arkansas State, 6 p.m. Sign poster giveaway, Easter egg hunt at halftime, and free admission. Remember, the bus tours return next week on a Friday prior to Ole Miss and Arkansas, 3 and 4 o'clock for those, as well as the Goodnight Market back at the Old Armory Pavilion, 5 to 8 next Friday. So more information soon, but again, visit OxfordMS.com/events. Do you guys think Matt is a legitimate Heisman contender, and just how improved do you think the defense is in 2021? Well, those two are connected, because if you believe Matt Corral is a legitimate Heisman contender, you think that defense is a lot better for 2021. I think he is a periphery candidate that will be in the news as a candidate throughout the season. I think Ole Miss falls a game or two short of true legitimate candidacy, because for Ole Miss to be – for him to be a true candidate all the way until the end, Ole Miss can go no worse than 10-2, and I have Ole Miss at 8-4, 9-3.
Yeah, for him to be a candidate at 9-3, he's got to put up just stunning numbers.
Popping numbers.
Which at that point would answer the second part to your answer would be no, the defense sucks.
Oh, well, yeah, sure, yeah. Because he's throwing up this stuff where you're like, holy hell, and yeah.
I agree with Chase. I think he's right on the edge.
Well, because look, Ole Miss went 9-3 in 2015. Chad Kelly had the third best season in SEC history and didn't even sniff a conversation.
What was the record when Eli was a senior?
10-3.
Yeah, see, and there's the point, because if they beat LSU that day, he wins the Heisman.
And more importantly, 7-1 in the SEC. While those two losses were critical to him not winning, they were so early that he goes on this huge run.
Yeah, no, it was the LSU. Wow. The LSU loss is what prevented him from winning the Heisman.
Yes.
Not the Texas Tech loss or the Memphis loss. How'd that team lose to Memphis, by the way?
Danny Wimprime and D'Angelo Williams had quite the day there for the Memphis Tigers. And then they kicked tons of field goals against Texas Tech. I think Cutcliffe kicked 7 field goals that night. Somebody also, well, it was Memphis and Texas Tech. I think Tay Biddle dropped touchdown passes, if I remember correctly. I think that's right.
Gotcha.
Get Mike Espy on, just ask him tons of Memphis and Texas Tech questions. Sure, he'd love that.
Sure, he would enjoy those trips down
memory. Yeah, just curious, Mike. What happened in that one as you move forward? But, yeah, I think that's the answer. Also, do you think the revenue loss from COVID stalls the athletic department from renovating football and softball facilities?
No.
No, in two reasons. Well, I guess connected reasons. The operating budget is what struggled. Facilities are done with capital campaigns and donations. So if COVID affects that, that's because private donors are affected by COVID, not because the actual university is affected by COVID.
Yeah, I think they know they have to move forward with these things to compete. That's what I believe. I think the current administration knows that it has to compete. I think that I'll go one further. I think the people who are in charge of academic recruiting know that it's critical to be competitive in athletics. That's what I think.
It is the front door.
Whether it should be or shouldn't be is another conversation for another day, but it is.
Texas has a basketball opening. Does Musselman go to Texas? And if so, would that be an upgrade?
I don't know. Hadn't dug into that at all. He would have to listen. He would have to ask himself, is Texas a better job than Arkansas? On surface, it is.
On surface, it definitely is.
But in reality, is it? And I don't know that answer.
They would say yes, right?
I guess.
I think.
It's been a minute for Texas. We do this with Texas a lot.
In everything.
In everything.
Frankly, we're doing it in baseball now to some extent.
Yeah, because they were once great. Oh, they're going to be great again. Tennessee football's online.
They ask the other Orange Tea how that's going for
them. Yeah, it should be a better job. Is it a better job? I don't know. Is Texas as engaged with basketball as Arkansas is? I don't know. Arkansas is pretty engaged. That's questions that I have. Is the fan base at Texas as rabid about basketball as the fan base at Arkansas? I don't know.
Yeah. And I'd probably lean no.
And so now you're starting to get into some complicating factors. So then you get into, do you like Fayetteville? Would you like Austin better? And that's personal stuff. I don't know.
A little different question than we get sometimes. So you get to have an off-the-record interview with anyone you want. You can ask any question you want. They have to be 100% honest. Who are you interviewing? What are you asking them? Here's the catch. You said off-the-record. So I'm not writing any of this. It's just fulfilling curiosity for me.
Yeah.
That's so different. Yeah,
now there's not a hell of a lot of curiosity at this point.
It would be political level. I'd pick out some political figure and go, hey, so.
Absolutely. For sure.
Sports-wise, no chance in hell. I don't care.
No, I'm not interested enough.
Yeah. Because I can't do anything with it.
You got any initial thoughts as to what it would be?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, here's the catch. What scandals are not kind of to some level out there where you still have this curiosity on, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem is that, especially in the political arena, so much stuff has actually been decided. I mean, it probably would be like some dead guy that I could go back and ask some War of Independence kind of stuff questions.
Well, sure. I mean, if you could go back and have a conversation with George Washington or Abraham Lincoln.
I got
a few. Yeah, yeah. But, like, would you even believe one of the current political people now if they told you, oh, they're going to be truthful and this is all off the record? Would you even believe it?
They would have to have the serum in their body.
Yeah. I mean, if you sat down with Donald Trump or Kamala Harris or any of those people and you were told they're going to tell you nothing but the truth, is there even a possibility that you would accept that as fact?
You would go in believing they would not.
I mean, so they could be telling me the truth, and the whole time I'd be going, that's a lie. That's bound to be a lie. Certainly, that's a lie.
That's true. Matthew McConaughey is very engaged. He wears his orange three-piece suit and the whole deal. He's Matt's in.
I've enjoyed his book.
I've contemplated reading it, and I haven't yet.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through it.
He's that guy where, I think we mentioned this on the podcast, half the stuff he says, I'm really interested in and kind of like stare off and go, you know what? And then half of it, I go, you're batshit crazy. I can't make my mind up half and half the time.
He is kind of crazy, but if you're crazy and you sort of know you're crazy, and you operate within that craziness, suddenly you're not as crazy anymore, if that makes any sense.
There's a weird introspection to him that I really like. That I go, you know what? You've thought about this. You've spent a minute on it.
Well, he's very comfortable with his crazy. He's not in denial of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not comparing me to Matthew McConaughey in any way. I'm weird, and I know I'm weird.
He has better hair.
Much better. I probably smell better because he doesn't use deodorant, and I use a lot.
That's true, yeah.
So there's a balancing act.
I think I've told that. I know somebody who ended up at like a Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner with him where they're like in-law families were somewhat interconnected. Played like 3 or 4 hours of flag football or outdoor football or whatever during the day. Comes in, no shower, no deodorant, just puts shirt on and goes on about the day.
Really?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, like hours of just like grime and whatnot and still nothing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you
well, I was told.
Got to hop in the shower at that point.
You would think, yeah, that would be one of those deals. Over-under landing two of the following three from the portal, Brakefield, Jones, and Brooks. I mean, over would be a hell of a haul, yeah. So I'll give you the over at 1.5.
Yeah, I'll go under. I'm a cynic. Everybody's recruiting all these kids. I got to see it to believe it. It's going to be my new stance on Ole Miss basketball, by the way. I'm not going to fall prey for this again. The super hype. I'm just going to hang tight. Say if everything works out on paper, they got a chance to be a good team, but they'll have to show me.
Probably a safe deal. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assumed. I thought about this for a while, and
Hot water heater.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought about this for a while, and I don't really have an answer, but I got to keep thinking about it, but I'll please pose the questions. You get $50,000 to spend on an item in the 90s. You can't invest it in a company, so you can't buy Apple, per se, but you can buy items that will accrue wealth. But you have to spend it by Y2K or you lose it. What items are you buying, and then what would the items be for the 2000s and the 2010? It would be like, because the way the card companies have gone crazy, you would find like the Kobe rookie card and stuff at this point, right? It would have to be trading card stuff.
Yeah, some kind of collectible, I guess.
Although, the card market is what has blown up in the last 12 months, 6 months.
Which is weird. I don't understand it at all.
Well, now you have the digital cards. That's like, oh,
yeah, I don't
great.
Get that at all.
Yeah, I'm out.
That feels like the scam of all scams.
It's the scam of all scams. Yes.
Like, I don't even understand Bitcoin. I know it's real, but I don't really understand it. We've done podcasts on it, and it's
out there a little from
you. Well, I finished talking about Bitcoin, and I feel like I'm just doing this. Like, whoa, that is over my head. You know what I mean? And so the digital trading card thingy, I'm like, oh, come on. No way.
It was like that photographer. It's a few weeks ago, and he had taken a picture years and years ago of Andy Warhol. And Warhol is just holding up a sign that says portrait across the front. And this dude, it's like this long Twitter thread that I'm almost kind of getting interested in. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. What's he talking about? In the end, he's like, so that portrait is now a non-currency card thing. And I'm like, oh, give me a break. Like, okay, great. Like, am I paying you for the, like, what do I get?
Yeah.
Do I upload it into my Apple wallet? I mean, like, what are we doing? So... yeah, it's trading cards. I think that's the answer. I mean, I'm sure there's some Beanie Babies or something that are probably out, probably worth something one day.
But didn't the Beanie Baby,
it, Beanie the bubble
Baby
burst.
Bubble yes. Burst.
yeah, that.
Like, they've done shows on that. That was crazy. The people that spent just hundreds of thousands of dollars on Beanie Babies. And at one point, it was worth millions. And then it wasn't. And now they're stuck with all these Beanie Babies.
When you say that, I have the picture in my head. Do you remember this? It made news when the couple got divorced and they couldn't swap, figure out who owned the Beanie Babies. And they had thousands of Beanie Babies. And I remember in my head, there's like this picture of them in the courtroom going, oh, the monkey's mine, the draft's yours. And they're going through all these Beanie Babies on whose is whose and how to differentiate and... the whole deal.
Don't you know the judge wanted to start throwing stuff?
Yeah,
at
it's
him.
Like this pop culture thing that is just stuck in my head, and I can't quite get it to go away. But yeah,
that's awesome.
I think that's the answer. Let's see. Yeah, NFTs. Sorry, I was missing what that was actually called? I'm a groomsman at my buddy's wedding during the Arkansas weekend. I'm not the best man. Is it okay to pull out my phone to watch during the ceremony? If not, what about earbuds so I can listen to Kellum?
No.
You can't.
No.
He does say my buddy knew this was a risk when he asked me.
Yeah, but no, he didn't. You can't. No. You're just going to have to get
through. If you had really good earbuds where nobody could tell, could you put them in?
Yeah, no.
No.
What's it, 1 hour?
Oh, max. Probably. But that's the question. What are we talking about? Like, with all due respect to all religions, this is like one of those 15-minute things, or is this one of those Catholic full mass things? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. But if it's just the 30-minute wedding.
Get out. It's an inning and a half. In college baseball, it's like three at-bats.
Yeah, and if there's a review, you might not even miss two at-bats.
So I mean, it's good. One baseball game out of 56.
Yeah, Avery says if you're in the crowd, yes, absolutely. If you're in the crowd, you can absolutely put your earbuds in.
Oh, 100%.
1,000 gazillion percent. But if you're standing...
There is no etiquette in that standpoint.
No, but if you're standing up there with your buddy, you can't. You can't do that to him. That's not only are you not the best man, at that point you're not the best man if you're doing that. You gotta take one for the team there.
You would also be forgiven if it was football during the fall and they planned the wedding anyway. I'd at least have more thoughts.
Oh, yeah, of course.
If it's like LSU weekend, they go, hey, look, all bets are off. You knew what you were asking for there at that point.
But they're going to be weddings in April and May, and you just got to get over
it. That's fully within the couple's ability.
You got to get over it. If you miss two innings of a baseball game, it's going to be okay.
The game really means nothing in the grand scheme.
Oh, right.
One game.
Right.
Let's see. Why does Cut get a pass for his underachieving years, 99, 2001, still lost to Texas Tech and Memphis in 03? How do you think those years look if Ole Miss commits to football under Tuberville? Do they win the West in those 4 or 5 years under Tommy?
Okay, so this is a complicated question. Number one, I can't comment on the end of Cutcliffe because I'm not familiar with it.
He just didn't recruit well at all. I mean, their talent fell off a cliff.
What happens with Tommy Tuberville if he stays at Ole Miss? Okay, well, here's the problem. Does he stay long term? Because I don't know. Does he leave 1 year later to go to LSU? Certainly possible. When LSU fired Jerry DiNardo and who they hire at that point? Is that when they hired Saban?
I guess it was.
Yeah. Does Tuberville get the LSU job? I don't know. Because Tommy Tuberville doesn't sign Eli Manning. And if Eli Manning doesn't happen at Ole Miss, who knows where things are? So that deal probably all in all sort of worked out for Ole Miss in a weird sort of way, but
Tuberville, a better team. Tuberville even was recruiting. Doesn't come?
It's possible. But he was going to make a really bad mistake at quarterback. He was going to take, because the kid signed up with Auburn and never made it.
About
Alan Tillman.
That's right.
And it's not his fault. But they were convinced that Alan Tillman was the guy, and they signed him at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't the guy. He certainly wasn't an Eli Manning.
No. He got Jason Campbell quickly after that. It all kind of worked out.
He did. He got Jason, and Jason was a really good, underrated to this day college quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cutcliffe got a lot of mileage out of a lot of the guys Tommy signed that we've talked about.
So here's the question, going full circle. Would Tommy Tuberville, had he stayed at Ole Miss, would he have landed Jason Campbell?
No. Sure. Because he's from Mississippi.
Yeah.
From Taylorsville.
He would have recruited him for damn sure.
Yeah.
So maybe, who knows? I mean, that's interesting. There's no question Tommy at that time.
Tommy have pulled Cadillac or Ronnie or somebody?
No, not. But he could have gotten somebody. I mean, he was a pretty good recruiter. I mean, he had a couple pretty good running backs at Ole Miss at one point, if I recall.
He did, yeah. A lot of people like Deuce as the linebacker.
And he could win recruiting battles that people didn't think he could win.
Mm-hmm. Won a lot more than Orgeron got credit for years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Tommy got Derek Burgess out of Maryland.
Mm-hmm. I'm just convinced all those Mississippi kids to come.
Tuton Reyes out of New York was a NFL player.
Yeah.
At a time when Ole Miss was kind of bad.
Mm-hmm. Podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark, NESPARC.com, 662-238-3159, the Ignite Package 100 Mbps, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford studio, phone service available, as well as parental controls, network security, and more. You can find out if they are in your area, and if so, get them to hook it up for you. Again, nespark.com or 662-238-3159.
We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're thinking about traveling, get in touch with John. He's got all the details, all the tricks, all the hidden deals that are out there, and there are a ton of them right now as we start to come out of the whole pandemic thing. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients, save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in a market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is home to a commercial checking account, now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. It comes with fully interactive online banking. All you have to do is just set it up, and you don't have to come to the bank to deposit checks from the office anymore. They'll do it for you. And to learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. I have a mailbag up at rebelgrove.com. It is brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors. Whitney is serving you for all your land and real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844.
Blake asking, what away games do you think will have the most restricted COVID rules?
Where does Ole Miss play? They play in Atlanta. That's got a shot. They play...
They have Andy Homer away.
Vandy is... Hell, I don't know.
I've had a hard time with the football schedule this time.
I haven't studied it yet.
And I don't really know why. I just can't quite get it.
They go to Auburn. That'll be fairly open, I would think, by then.
You would think. Which Arkansas hasn't even opened up yet, have they?
No, but they are. They're dropping all mask mandates.
Atlanta, Tuscaloosa, Knoxville, Auburn, Starkville. It's Knoxville or Atlanta.
Yeah.
Not Tuscaloosa. Not Auburn. So one or the other. Let's see.
NFL said full stadiums.
They did say full stadiums. A lot of Chargers jokes in there after they made those, but yeah, it's a, yeah, well, all right, cool.
Define full.
Yeah, sure. Open and accessible is the is the correct term there for that. Hattiesburg Reb says, Ted Lasso, All-American in Breaking Bad, or his favorite series, what should he watch next? Ozark, The Wire, or House of Cards? Okay, so here's your deal. With Ozark, it's good throughout. You don't have to get that far invested in it before you realize what's going on. And even the pilot's good, yeah, even though it's not technically a pilot with the Netflix series, but whatever. The first episode's good. It's my pick because The Wire is long, takes a lot of time. You have to kind of really get into it. Frankly, I had to get a lot of episodes into it before I could really get hooked at all.
I didn't like it.
It's got a couple dead seasons in there to me. I know it's blasphemy for a lot of people. To me, it gets a lot of the same credit that Sopranos does for being early and really kind of revolutionizing and getting into that era where TV was the critical medium in a lot of ways. So it's good, and it's worth your time when you want to spend it to see if you like it. House of Cards is fantastic early, but it falls off such a cliff, I have a hard time recommending it.
Yeah, the first few seasons of House of Cards are great.
Yeah, but you got to know when to just stop or to go, okay, well, that was fun.
Well, they had to deviate from some things because things got weird.
It did, yes.
I haven't even finished it. To this date, I haven't finished it.
Am I a season behind or not? I mean, how many? We can spoil it, hell. How many seasons? Where this guy wants to watch it. We can spoil this, right? I'm about to spoil House of Cards. Yeah, if anyone gives a crap, so 20 seconds in advance.
Hit that advance button three or four times.
Yeah. How many seasons were after he died?
I'm like in the second one, I think.
Season.
Where she's president.
That's the last season, though, right?
I think so.
Am I one behind there?
I haven't finished it, so I don't know.
Okay.
It's awful.
It's bad.
It's so bad.
So it might be the number one show with beginning and end so different.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was just, I mean, early on, it's which is on, it's just.
Oh, it's fantastic.
In. I mean, it's like. Now, some of it is, in some ways, it's almost kind of Trump's fault because everything became believable. You know what I mean?
No, yeah,
where
true.
It went, hey, here's a new storyline. It went, yes, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
In fact, that was Tuesday morning.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Jack Ryan's a great series.
It is a good series.
Really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good. Where do y'all see college athletics, amateurism, and alignment in 5 to 10 years?
I'm sorry.
Shut up.
Where do I see it? Well, the Supreme Court had some thoughts on it today.
They did. I haven't read all about that, though. What'd they say? I heard the NCAA had a pretty rough morning.
NCAA got beat up pretty good. Even the most conservative justices, Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh, the way that they asked questions make you believe that they are going to side against the NCAA in this. They have real questions about how you can justify an unlimited market on coaches and yet limit the market on athletes as harshly as they do.
Little news out of the SEC. They are not doing traditional in-person SEC meetings this season in Destin.
Still not doing it.
The SEC spring meetings provide an opportunity to celebrate our achievements, plan for the future, and focus on our mission to serve people throughout our universities. We have learned a lot in the last year, including how to conduct effective meetings through technology. We believe a combination of smaller in-person meetings on varying dates and continuing use of virtual meeting technology is more appropriate given the current circumstances than a multi-day indoor conference room gathering. I've said this about a lot of things, including schools canceling days too quickly. Let me be clear there. They are clear weather threats and other imminent danger. Absolutely cancel school. Do not put kids at risk. We're canceling days ahead of time now in a lot of instances when, frankly, it's not raining and different things. Just wait. There's a difference between a tool and a crutch. And we are turning virtual learning into a crutch more than a tool. We have gone lazy with it that is getting on my nerves.
There's no reason they can't have the meetings in Destin, Florida.
The problem a little bit is this might be a clue to what different things look like as we move forward. We're still not.
I've told you I have this fear of people being willing to say out loud, hey, we're moving on. Look at the reaction on and I know Twitter's not the real world, but look at the reaction today on Twitter about the NFL. Oh, you're going to kill people, so you don't care about anything other than money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care about anything but money. No, man, by September, if you're not vaccinated, that's on you. By September?
Completely on you. Yeah.
And if you don't want to be, that's cool. I'm good. I'm good. Do what you want to do. But if you're 50-something years old and you're not vaccinated in September, well, you chose not to.
Mm-hmm. Another one I kind of think about, Walnut Reb says, I really like Neil's answer to a mailbag question. Basically says he enjoys King and will continue to enjoy King regardless of political opinions.
Referring to Stephen King.
Yeah. Who are some guys that you can't stand their political opinions or them as a person, but love their work? Some of the issue in journalism now is it's bleeding into the work so much that my list is smaller and, frankly, almost non-existent compared to even 1 or 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect the answer to that question is a lot of people. I mean, a lot of athletes that I like to watch, I'm sure...
You don't need their opinions on everything.
Don't view the world through the same prism that I do. I'm sure a lot of the writers that I love to read, a lot of the musicians that I listen to, I kind of long for the day when everything is not political.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not there.
I thought it was going to get better. It has not yet. We'll see.
Oh, it's gotten worse.
It's gotten worse, yeah. 100%.
That's why I'm telling you... I mean, I've got this trial on in here because I think it's just fascinating. This thing's a powder keg. And then the whole mask issue has become a powder keg. When there comes a point, and there will come a point, where people are told, hey, look, you can wear one if you want to, but we're no longer requiring it.
Yeah.
And people don't wear it. You're going to have these people that, I believe this, who go in with a mask on, who are going to be angry at people for not wearing a mask. And it's going to create this mask war.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a political statement. That's just an opinion.
Rebel Fan 20, with the Texas Rangers being the only MLB team that will have a full capacity at their games, how long will it take for the organization stadiums to follow their lead? I would have thought it would have happened by now.
Kind of the same thing. It's amazing to me the number of franchises that just won't do it. Now, in some cases, they can't because the state won't let them.
Yeah, they're only. I guess that's a point. As of right now, I'm not ready to criticize yet because there are so few states that actually have opened up to the level that would be required for that. I mean, Mississippi does not have a major league team, so it's not relevant in so many places.
Like in Illinois, it's the Cubs and White Sox are 25%.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's because that's what the Illinois governor said. In Ohio, it's like 32% because that's what
32.
I think so. That's okay. What the governor there said. I don't know. At some point, I keep waiting for people to go, but.
And it's those teams when they see it elsewhere and there's no rise, no difference. They go, oh my God, we're just
A lot of those teams are managed by people who understand that a lot of their it's the restaurant business. A lot of their employees, the players, are kind of left leaning. And they have to be careful. They have to sort of kowtow to those emotions at some point. It's a balancing act that's gone on, frankly, like you said, it's gone on a little longer than I thought it would.
You got a go-to running song?
Not really.
You're not running music at all. It's all podcasts.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I know this sounds funny. I'll just turn it on.
Just shuffle and go?
Yeah.
Is it a playlist?
Sometimes I've got different playlists and stuff.
Stations
that I'll just,
and things.
Yeah. But
Pandora? What do you run into?
I use some Pandora. I use more Apple now.
Do you?
Yeah, because Apple does a better job of recording what you actually listen to and playing that in more of a... But, man, I'm being serious. I'm 3 miles into a run, and if you were to stop me and say, what's on?
You have no idea.
I have no clue.
It's just there.
It's one of the reasons I run on treadmills, is because when I have a really good run, when I'm into it and I feel good, I'm completely unaware of my surroundings.
The level of getting scared, it happens to me a lot because I mostly run outside, when either somebody comes up on you or a dog comes up on you when you're just in that zone and you have no idea and you're kind of like, I mean, you jump. You're like, oh, my God. Like, yeah, there's people and stuff.
Well, like in my neighborhood when the dog jumped up and bit me, it wasn't the getting bit. I mean, it broke the skin. It wasn't getting bit that scared me. It was the fact that, I mean, it startled me so much that my heart damn near went to 300 beats a second.
It was one of our better podcast bits on what to do with that pug that chased me around the block over and over and over and over and over again for those 2 years. Same pug constantly. And the one go, he just can't help it. I'm like, well, I'm going to kick him through the roof next time. So just heads up.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she finally would put him up with a leash and he was a little bitty dog and put the leash under a swing set post. I'd come around the corner, and that dog would be lifting the swing set up in the air, lunging at me.
Wanting to get at you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Tore through my compression sock one day. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Woman's just running around trying to chase him, and he's chasing me.
She acts like it's your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're fully within your rights of kicking the hell out of the dog.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Yeah, no.
Zero doubt.
Yeah. That's the problem. It's always the little dog that's the issue. The lab gets out. He's just running with me. He might like run into me a little bit.
No, the truth is there's a lab that kind of gets loose in our neighborhood sometimes when I'm out running. And I think it's a male, but he or she, whatever, has just got that goofy ass lab face. Like, hey, what are we doing? I've never once.
He might bump into you.
No, my only concern with the lab is that I'm always afraid it's going to get hit. Yeah. It's never about is it going to do anything to me? Because the answer is no. I'm its new best friend.
Yeah.
But those little dogs, man, they'll get after you.
I know.
They'll get after you.
How much tax-free money would it take for you to become a vegan?
All right.
I'm sure
there's
a
difference
price.
Between a vegetarian and a vegan.
No
right?
animal products.
Okay.
No eggs. No meat.
I mean, I'm sure there's a money figure, but it'd be
fairly
high.
There's a certain quality of life that I go, you know what?
Yeah. It's fairly high. If someone offered you $1 million tax-free, would you do it?
$1 million?
$1 million.
Nope. No.
$2 million.
It has to be enough where I never even have to think about, and I can prepare food any way that I possibly could to make it palatable the rest of my life.
Right.
Whatever that number is.
Because for someone like me who's not crazy about a lot of different vegetables and doesn't really like the texture of fruit.
Mm-mm. Dinner every night of, hey, there's some lentils.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I think it would be really high. With what you've seen from this team so far, what is your ideal lineup going forward? Mike's kind of found it right now. I think he's got to keep playing McCants. I think you keep getting him experience in center field. Frankly, Plumlee's earned a little more time in spots, depending on where you need to give Dunhurst rest or different things. And I think as of right now still, especially until Trey LaFleur is back from his mono, I think Calvin Harris has earned some DH spots. I mean, I think the biggest danger for Mike right now, and I mean, I like these dudes well enough, is given when Baker is healthy or Van Cleave too many at-bats because they're older. You know, I think Mike, he's seen it. I'm not necessarily criticizing, but I think he had a tendency to go, well, upperclassmen, let's make sure they can't do it before you do some different things. But it's a different upperclassman standpoint when it's JUCO guys that only played 17 games before the season was shut down. That's not like it's a full season where you've really ground through it over the course of the year.
Look, if Mike happens to hear this and says you have no idea what you're talking about, sure. I plead the fifth.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen of McCants, other than against certain left-handers, he's out there.
Mm-hmm. You got to play him.
Now, if it's a tough left-hander, I'll probably get him out of there. But otherwise, he's playing.
But see, he's going to be an everyday guy anyway. I mean, then you're even balancing, hey, who's my other option? Is that really any better? It's not like I've got Mike Trout over there.
It might be an at-bat that goes better for Plumlee, for example, because he'd see it better.
Yeah. Let's see. Now that we hopefully are on the back end of the pandemic and its impact on athletics, cross fingers, what, if any, positive impacts do you see resulting from in athletics going forward from that whole experience or experiment? What positive?
In athletics?
Yeah.
I think they've probably figured out that you can save a lot of expense in recruiting. You can do a lot of the recruiting virtually.
100%. They can get more efficient there.
I think they've probably figured out that you can be more efficient with practice, with workouts, with off-season type stuff. There's some of that. Frankly, for us, it's totally changed what we do, changed how we do it moving forward for a long time, I think. I've had this conversation with a bunch of people.
Oh, there's no going completely back. At all. Nothing there whatsoever.
No, I don't think so. I am curious to see what a game day watch-along traffic looks like when there's access to the stadium and there's access to other things. I mean, do people actually hang out with us at that point, or are we wasting our time?
Yeah.
Home games.
Right, yeah, I'm sure what you mean. Build your perfect setup at a barbecue joint. How many sides do you typically go for? Huge believer in three sides minimum. I definitely don't need more than three sides.
Oh, no.
I don't know that I need three. I mean, frankly, I'm not a big coleslaw guy.
Not at all.
So give me, I mean, even if I'm not worried about calories in the slightest, the baked beans and the banana pudding, and I'll call it a day. I can't think of any other thing.
Yeah, because the banana pudding's technically a dessert. So you just described one side.
Well, no, that's a side in barbecue restaurants. You can usually get the banana pudding over there with the meal if you'd like. They're pretty lenient on how you organize your plate there. It's mostly pork. Neil's a much more of a brisket guy than I am. I'm not a huge brisket person. I'd much rather have the really good pork or the
good brisket, but yeah,
than the brisket. I don't believe in some of the Texas barbecue, like some of the sausages and stuff. That's not barbecue to me. That's something else.
Yeah.
I like it fine, but
you can give me really good pulled pork and just some pickles and some sauce, and I'm good. Maybe a piece of bread. I don't need all the slaw and the baked beans and all that stuff. It's got to be really good for me to even think about all that.
Mm-hmm. Most overrated bourbon you've ever had?
Ooh.
This
could be a better answer for you.
Pappy 12. 15 and 20. Look, they're, all right, let me caveat this. 15 and 20 are incredible bourbons most years. Now, are they overpriced compared to other bourbon? Yes, absolutely. But even 12 is getting that same markup that the other ones are. And to me, it is incredibly pedestrian year over year over year. So even at the markup, it's not even up to the snuff of the other ones. So I think that would be my choice. Most underrated bourbon? I mean, a ton. I mean, I don't even know where to start.
Eagle Rare, Buffalo Trace.
Yeah, those are the answers, but... You know, the only catch there is they've almost are so popular as underrated that they're rated appropriately.
Right.
Now, they're underpriced.
Right.
But I don't know if they're underrated, per se.
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
That's a good point. You know, it's more
probably some of the old Forester ones that I talk about all the time that just haven't really blown up in a lot of other places. Woodford Doubled Oak, you can still find it on almost any shelf.
Yeah, and it's good.
And considering you can't find a lot of stuff on the shelf, I think that's what kind of puts it there for me. So anyway, we'll close out some other questions in a minute. We'll tell you about Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy, G&M. 662-236-2222. They're on South Lamar in Oxford. They deliver locally in the Oxford area, and they offer MedSync. Bigger prescriptions the same day each month to make it easy on you with one carryout from the pharmacy or one delivery to get all the medicines you need when you need it. And then with Right Way Meds, they will individually package your medication for those who need it. It could save lives in the right circumstance as well. So again, 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by Bain, Moss & Bowen, located in historic downtown Corinth. Their firm practices a wider range of law, DUI defense, car wrecks, representing government entities. It's the only firm in Mississippi made up of a sitting state legislator, a former assistant district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. Their experience is unmatched in that regard, and you can tap into it by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street in Corinth or by calling them at 662-287-1620. Also brought to you by Alpha Specialties, located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. It's your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it. It's the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trail. It's the premium brand trailer, the highest quality utility equipment dump and gooseneck trailer being built today. Fully primed and powder coated, Load Trail trailers come with an industry-leading 3-year warranty and 2 years of roadside assistance. They also have Hallmark cargo trailers. They've got a repair shop, spare tires, wheels, all of that stuff there at Alpha Specialties, 601-932-9798 or alphaofms.com. Blue Delta Jeans makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they are uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit and hand tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at bluedeltajeans.com. Double Decker may not be happening in Oxford this spring, but Blue Delta is happy to present the Blue Delta Blues Alley on April 23rd, 24th. It's the weekend of the LSU home baseball series, also the weekend of the Grove Bowl. Friday night, Joe Austin and the Tallahatchies will play from 4 to 6, and 6 to 8 will be Grammy Award-nominated Jimmy Duck Holmes, the proprietor of Blue Front Cafe, the oldest surviving juke joint in Mississippi. Joe Austin and the Tallahatchies will be back on Saturday from 2 to 6 for an afternoon of music, so come on out to the Blue Delta Studio. Have a great time celebrating Oxford. And Rebel Grove listeners can redeem 10% using Rebel Grove in the Oxford studio. And don't forget, we'll have a watch party tomorrow night. Ole Miss and Florida get started at 7 Central. Is that right, Chase? 7 Central there in Gainesville. We'll watch along with you here on MPW Digital. It's brought to you by The Rogue. The Rogue is your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand-select pieces from top designers, from work to lifestyle to nightlife. There's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Duckhead, Halsey, True Grit, and more. 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com.
You're stuck on an island knowing you'll never get off. Zero chance. You can have the world's leading male wilderness survival expert or a random female who knows nothing about survival at all. Who are you picking?
All right, so I'm never getting off. The survival guy can't get me off the island.
Kind of my thought too. Yeah.
Well, at this point, give me the woman. I mean, it's just the two of us, which means she's stuck there too.
Because if I can't get off the island, then what? I mean, you could live on the island for a lot much longer period of time. I'll take my chances.
Yeah, I'll just, yeah.
We'll try to spearfish, like Castaway figured out how to do. I mean, it's all good.
I mean, if I'm the last man on Earth at that point.
How much better could you get at survival kind of stuff if you're just life dependent on your side there hanging out?
A lot better.
You can improve.
Yeah, better than I am now.
Amen.
You know.
I mean, I don't know that I'm going to be lighting fires with rocks, but.
Well, at that point, I mean. You know, Blake says make babies, but how would you keep the baby alive?
Yeah, that would be a problem, actually.
It'd be trouble.
For the three major college sports, what would you change about the postseason for each? We would expand the playoff in football to at least 8 teams.
Yes.
We would turn baseball into 2 out of 3 weekends instead of having 2 weekends of 4 and then 2.
And when that happens, I get the credit.
That's fine. I don't really have a basketball one. It's fine.
No, it's fine.
I have no real...
It works. Clearly, it works. Because nobody talks about college basketball at all And then March rolls around, and people are like, oh, my God, this is awesome. It's because it's the tournament.
But changing the number wouldn't help you at all. Like, it would water it down to go to 128. And if you go to 32, you lose games that matter.
Yeah. So. I mean, look, I think you could do it at 128, and quite frankly, I don't think anybody would complain because the first round would still be bonkers.
Yeah, I guess.
And people are in it for the bonkers.
Of course.
So I think you actually could add another
day
round.
Or whatever.
It would, you know, you'd have Gonzaga versus some team that was like 11-19, but you'd still get the end result. But it's fine the way it is. It clearly works. People like it. People watch it. The ratings are super high. Everyone has their bracket and all that crap, so it works.
NJ Revs 10 says our average and run score against starting pitching in the SEC can't be good. It seems like most of the runs have come off relievers. How concerning is this? Welcome to the SEC. That's the case for everyone. The starting pitching is very good across the board.
It's my one thing when people say, boy, SEC baseball, it's like double A baseball. I'm like, okay, hold up. Are there nights where the pitching matchup is like that? Absolutely.
Yeah. The bullpens get a little spotty.
And the lineups, too. Not everybody in an SEC lineup is going to play professional baseball.
No.
Everybody in double A is playing professional baseball.
Yeah.
So there is
in double A.
Yeah, because there is a difference.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it can imitate on a lot of nights.
Yes.
And it's high A-ish a lot.
Well, like when Vanderbilt plays Ole Miss on a Friday night.
Yeah.
That's high A.
Rocker and Hoagland out there.
You're watching two dudes that are probably going to pitch in the bigs.
Yeah.
You got guys in the lineup that are going to play professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but by the time you get to Sunday in that series and you're deep into the two bullpens.
It's a little.
Yeah, it's a different level of baseball.
Absolute worst movie you've ever seen that was released in theaters. Didn't have to see it in the theaters, just released in them, both of you. That weird American Idol spinoff, was it from Justin to Kelly?
Oh, dear God.
Is that what it was?
You went to see that?
No, you didn't have to see in the theater. It just had to be in the theater. So, like, Trolls 2 doesn't count because that was a direct-to-video release.
Okay.
Yeah, just like, you know, like the 8th Leprechaun movie didn't get in a theater, so you can't count that.
I don't know. I don't know about the whole...
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre that had, like, our boy Matthew McConaughey and, like, Renee Zellweger in it in, like, 1984 or something.
The worst movie I've ever seen is Christmas Vacation Part 2.
Oh, it's the island one.
Horrible.
Like, the uncle's island or Cousin Eddie's island or whatever.
The worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's the worst movie you've ever seen?
Ever.
But that was direct to release.
Yeah. But someone actually filmed that and finished post-production and said, sure.
There was a thought somewhere went, that'll make money.
Someone put that out and went, hey, that is a hit.
Do you think the NCAA factors in growing the game when selecting the 16 regional host sites for baseball? Yeah, absolutely, sometimes.
For whatever reason.
The back half, they focus on that. On the front half, they focus on can you make money and bring in revenue. Those are the two things that happen there. Okay, I think we're about out of questions. Again, tomorrow night, Ole Miss and Florida, 7 o'clock from Gainesville there. I don't know what their new stadium is called. I don't know if they kept McKeithen Stadium or if it's something else in Florida. So
I don't know.
I don't think it was a remodel. I think it was they completely tore it to the ground.
Is it still – it's not the same one that you used to walk past on your way to the
– Well, it's brand new. This is literally the
first spot?
That's what I don't know. I'm not sure what they've done there. I know they've done a nice job. They kind of have the perfect park for their size and their fan level, but I don't know what it looks like. But anyway, Ole Miss tomorrow night, Gunnar Hoagland versus Tommy Mace, the Rebels and the Gators. Coverage with that at rebelgrove.com, as well as more podcasts coming your way this week on the MPW Digital Network. So for today, thanks for the questions. Thanks for everybody in the live stream. Take care. Have a good day.